All right. Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. I'm excited to share some of the first results from a large synthesis project on how crop rotation affects yield resilience and other aspects of productivity that I've been doing along with a big group of collaborators that you can see here listed as co-authors. So crop rotation is by no means a new technology. Crop rotation has played a pivotal role in maintaining productivity and intensive cropping systems for hundreds and thousands of years across the world. Beginning in the 19th century, we began to see a simplification in crop rotations as fertilizer and pesticide inputs became more available, and the services that were provided by these more complex rotations began to be replaced by these inputs. And soil scientists and agronomists were concerned about this even as it was happening. For instance, back in the 30s and 40s, we saw folks from Ohio State University document the effects of continuous corn on yield declines relative to more diverse rotations, as well as detrimental effects on soil structure that led to ponding and other effects after heavy rains in the continuous corn system relative to more complex rotations. So this interaction between rotation, weather, and productivity has been a long-standing interest. And we're beginning, of course, to understand after decades of research a lot more about it. So for instance, we also know that crop rotational diversity is key to maintaining and enhancing soil organic matter and microbial biomass in cropping systems. So this is some results of a recent meta-analysis by Stuart Grandy's group showing that when we add crops into rotation, we see increases in total soil carbon and nitrogen and microbial biomass relative to monocultures. And of course, these form the kind of heart and soul of soil health. I think a key question then is could these positive feedbacks from more complex crop rotations in turn support greater yields during stress or accelerated yield gains over time, even in the presence of inputs? And there is some evidence to suggest that indeed more complex crop rotations do increase yields during stress. So this is some recent work by Emily Gaudin's group showing in Laura, Ontario, that corn-based crop rotation, including small grains and cover crops, increased yields in hot and dry years relative to corn-soybean rotations. But other studies have shown more mixed effects on rotational benefits during stressful conditions. So I think there's a need for kind of a synthesis of research to try to understand why we might see some differences in local conditions and to identify some dominant trends in the effects of crop rotation. And so we have a real opportunity to do this, given that many experiments looking at crop rotational diversity have been started over the past several decades. And I've had the good fortune to work with a number of collaborators coming from a lot of these experiments, all listed here, across a wide range of climate conditions, ranging from Akron, Colorado, with about 400 millimeters of rain, all the way to Beltsville, Maryland, with close to 1,100 millimeters. And these experiments range anywhere from 16 to 58 years, so a tremendous amount of longitudinal data across this climate gradient. And so the overarching question here then is how does crop rotational diversity affect the productivity, resilience, and sustainability of corn-based cropping systems? And I'll sort of define exactly how I'm operationalizing each of these components here now. So just some hypotheses shown in this graph here. So on the x-axis, I'm defining what I'm calling a metric of stress in this environmental index. So this environmental index is defined as the mean yield across all rotational systems in a given year in a given site. So this is a tractable way at getting at stress in a given year, but it does have some limitations in that it doesn't really tell us why that stress was occurring, whether it was from abiotic or biotic factors. On the y-axis, we have corn yield in different rotational systems, and we could might expect some different responses at different sites. So for instance, in this hypothetical site here, our diverse rotation might yield higher in higher stress situations, that is at a low environmental index, But then these yields might converge as conditions get better, and there's not a limitation anymore, especially if there's inputs. Other sites we might see a similar impact of crop rotation diversity across this whole range of stress. So we can look for these types of different responses. We can also look at responses to time. So now if we replace environmental index on our x-axis with time, we might see some differences in how these yields are changing. So for instance, we might see general increases in yields over time, but in a more diverse rotation, we might see accelerated yield gains over time if we saw feedbacks to soil health that was improving this system. So how can we go about testing these? Well, first, I collected data from all of these experiments. So these are corn yields in every rotation and every year at a plot level. So this is about 350 site years of data and over 10,000 observations of yield. Of course, we also collected experimental metadata, as well as weather data and planting and harvest dates that we'll be using in subsequent analyses to really hone in on some of the stress effects. The analytical approach was using Bayesian multi-level regression models. I'm not going to go too far into this other than to say that these types of multi-level models are ideal when you have kind of structured hierarchical data. That is, you know, we have multiple sites, there are blocks within those sites, and then within those blocks there are plots that we're measuring through time. And so these multi-level models allow us to have a common statistical framework, but then look at site-specific effects of crop rotation. So to look at crop rotation across these different sites that have different rotations, we need a common index for crop rotation. And so I'm define this here as what I'm calling a crop complexity index, which I'm defining as basically the number of crops in rotation multiplied by the length of the rotation. So a continuous corn system would have an RCI of 1 versus a 3-crop rotation of corn, soybeans, and wheat with 2 cover crops would have an RCI of 15 with 5 crops in rotation and a length of 3 years. So this just allows us to have kind of a common metric across all of these systems. Okay, so let's take just first a look at some just summaries of yield across these sites. So on the x-axis we have the 11 sites and yields on the y-axis. And then within each site I'm showing the least and the most diverse rotation color-coded by their rotational complexity index. And I just want to show here that we have a tremendous amount of variability in yields across sites and within sites, so encompassing quite a range of environmental conditions. Okay, so let's take a look at some actual results of our models. And first, let's just remind ourselves of kind of what we're looking for here. So again, we're going to be looking at our x-axis of this environmental index, which is the mean yield in a given year. And we're going to be looking across different sites and rotations. So I just pulled out a subset of the sites here, and in each graph we have the environmental mean or environmental index on the x-axis and yields on the y-axis. This is Beltsville, Maryland, and in the darker green line is the more diverse rotation, and the lighter green line in each is the least diverse rotation at that site. So for instance, in Beltsville, in the most stressful conditions, we don't see really any differences between the least and the most diverse cropping system, but as environmental conditions improve, we see that the more diverse rotation is outperforming the least diverse rotation. And so we can kind of take a look at all of the sites together by looking at the actual coefficient estimates of the slopes on these. So that's what we'll do next. So this first graph is showing just the main effect of rotational complexity at the site level. So this is the effect of one unit increase in the crop rotational index and how that affects yields. So we see in 8 out of the 11 sites a positive effect of crop rotation. In some cases, pretty large effects. This is in part due to a couple of sites, for instance, at the Kellogg Biological Station in Michigan and this site in Ontario. Well, Kellogg doesn't have any inputs in the crop rotation, and one of the treatments here doesn't. So we see a bigger effect when there aren't any inputs. But in sites where there are inputs, and for instance, at the two sites in Ohio, we still see a strong effect of crop rotational complexity. Next, we can look at the interaction between rotational complexity and the environmental mean. And so we see positive interactions in the majority of the sites. That is that as conditions improve, the more diverse rotations are taking better advantage of these environmental conditions. And so while these coefficient estimates look pretty low, we actually, if you kind of do the calculations, they actually translate into pretty meaningful numbers. So for instance, at the Alora site, which is this fourth one here, for an increase in the environmental mean of 1,000 kilograms of corn per hectare, the most diverse rotation will have a predicted yield that's almost 150 kilograms higher than the corn monoculture system. Okay, next let's look at how these different systems withstand stress. So now we can look at the difference in yield in the most diverse and the most simple rotation at each site at the lowest environmental mean, so that is in the most stressful conditions. So if we take a look at these estimates, we see that in 7 of the 11 sites, we see in some cases substantially higher yields in the most complex rotation versus the least complex rotation. Again, this effect is strongest in sites without any inputs, but we see significant effects even in the sites that do have inputs. And so this is just showing graphically just a couple of these examples again. We already looked at Beltsville, Maryland. This is Hoytville, Ohio. So we see down here at the bottom end this difference of about 500 or 600 kilograms per hectare when conditions are the most stressful. And finally, our final outcome, let's look at positive feedbacks over time. So now on our x-axis, we're replacing the environmental index for time since the experiment began and looking at how they change over time. So again, we're just going to take a quick look at a subset of the fields here. For instance, at the Hoytville site, we see a general increasing trend in yields over time, but you can see that the slope appears to be stronger in the more complex rotation. And so we can look at that by looking at the interaction between crop rotational complexity and time. So first, if we just look at the overall effect of time, we do see that yields tend to increase just across the board in these different sites, with one exception, two exceptions at the Kellogg Biological Station and the biodiversity gradient experiment there, and then in Akron, Colorado. But we see that in I think 6 of the 11 sites that there is a positive interaction between rotational complexity and time. That is, yields are accelerating, the yield gain is accelerating faster in the more complex rotation versus the more simple rotation. Okay, just a quick summary. So the more diverse rotations tend to be taking better advantage of more productive environments. They tend to yield higher in the most stressful environments, and they have, in some cases, accelerated yield gains over time. But there is substantial site-to-site variability, which we can hypothesize about making some contribution about why that's occurring. For instance, climate in Akron, Colorado, where we didn't see a strong effect of crop rotational complexity, perhaps due to it being, 400 millimeters of precipitation a year. It's a very dry site. Although anybody that may have seen Steve Rosenzweig's talk yesterday about their work with producers in this area, may give a little bit different lens to that. We could also look at maybe systems. So in Beltsville, Maryland, this is an organic rotation where weed pressure in wet years is a huge factor for driving down yields, and so which may have contributed to some of the lack of effects that we saw in stressful conditions in Beltsville. So some other conclusions. At least in some cases, we see the crop diversity has clear benefits, but of course they vary across sites. I think going through the synthesis process, we can begin to get some better understanding of the factors that are driving differences across local studies, and begin to identify some of the dominant trends from crop rotational complexity. But of course, this is coming at the expense of local detail. Kind of local understanding of what's happening. I also think that this synthesis process plays an important role in facilitating collaboration across a pretty wide range of researchers coming from different systems. And so our next steps with this research is to link the yield dynamics that we're seeing with specific weather, and also link it with changes that we see in different soil organic matter fractions and changes in soil microbial communities to maybe try to understand some of the positive feedbacks that are occurring here. And so with that, I'll just quickly thank our funding source with USDA, all the collaborators, and I want to emphasize just how many people this is building on over the years. I mean, the 10,000 observations of yield and from field experiments, a tremendous number, tremendous amount of investment over time from people. So with that, I'd be happy to take questions.
Is there interest in incorporating the results of this meta-analysis and others into crop insurance programs?
That's something I've been thinking about a lot, actually. I mean, I think that's one of, that's one of the outcomes that I'm interested in highlighting. And it seems like our crop insurance programs tend to, they might mitigate risk for a producer, but they're undermining, the capacity of the actual system to deal with stress. And so I wonder if there is a way to reorganize, incentives to actually increase the capacity of the actual system to deal with stress. So I'm that's definitely something I'm interested in.
If corn is a major cash crop for a farmer, reporting on corn yield on a rotation that's only 1 year versus continuous,
right?
How do you account for that?
But
how do you convey that message?
Right. Now, and then that's something that I should mention. I mean, this is a relatively narrow perspective on crop rotation, and that we're looking only at corn yields in this rotation. I mean, I think we need to be considering a number of factors. I mean, the yields of the other crops, just the profitability of the system, and I think importantly, I mean, if this is if we want to maintain cropping system diversity, we need to be thinking about, are there markets available for this? Are for these alternative crops, to what extent can livestock be reintegrated to support the more perennial forages that some of these systems have? So it's definitely a systems issue, So I think, not sure that I exactly answered your question.
Are you only getting maize yield data, or do you have yield on the other rotation?
Yeah, we only got maize yield data. As kind of a first pass at this, I think there could be opportunity to take a more, encompassing view at some point. Mike?
Tim, yeah. So you mentioned at the beginning that they're all randomized complete block designs.
Yeah.
I wonder if the blocking factor has an even bigger effect on some of these things than the rotation, and also maybe if you have considered taking the blocking fact and weather together to make a new environmental stress measure?
No, I mean, that'd be an interesting approach to look at the variability kind of at the site level. I mean, in our model, we give block within site a random effect. So it's kind of accounting for any block effect. Over time, we also give a random effect for the plot, so we account for any, just differences in that plot as we measure yields, over different years. So our model is kind of accounting for, any block or plot effects in the outcomes. But, it could be interesting to kind of look at, at that in a little more detail. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a question specifically about the Akron, Colorado site.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. This is, corn is not the, and again, I'm not an expert on those kind of dry land, more semi-arid cropping systems by any means, but I think the dominant system in that area is actually a wheat fallow system. And so the most diverse rotation at that Akron experiment is there's no fallow period, so there is an increase in, and it's a continuous cropping system. And so I think there, you know, maybe the water use of the previous crop is really, rather than the, you know, the is really the dominant factor controlling productivity, rather than, you know, kind of a more overarching diversity effect.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.